Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
What is up, Gypsy Gang? And I can't believe we are already here. It's time once again to be joined by the Red Bull and Pole Racing duo of Shane Van Gisbergen and Brock Feeney for the quarterly review. And yes, we made it straight through Q1 directly into Q2. And for some reason, it may seem like a slow start to the season for the Triple Eight team, but when you look at the big picture, they are perfectly placed to fight to the end in this year's Supercars Championship. SVG has shown to be the cream of the crop at certain races this year, and Brock has managed to earn the title of Mr. Sunday, winning 4 out of the last 5 Sunday races. I really enjoyed doing these shows, as both SVG and Brock are personal friends of mine, and it's awesome to really get up to speed with the season thus far. But before we get into this episode, a quick word from our sponsors. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by the team at Athletic Greens. Athletic Greens AG1 is the first port of call for me each and every morning. And in my experience, this is the healthiest habit you can form, and it takes just under 1 minute of your day. Now, there are a couple of reasons why I love using AG1. Firstly, doing it habitually every morning sets me on the right path with my health. Not only is it amazing for my body, but mentally, I know that before I've done anything else in the day, I'm already on the path that I want to be on, and that is the path to World Vets. Secondly, to get the same nutritional benefits by using separate vitamins, not only would it take a crazy amount of time, but I wouldn't actually be smart enough to source all of the ingredients that AG1 packs into their formula. AG1 is a one scoop formula that you mix with between 8 to 12 ounces of water, and that's it, you're done. And it has been a part of millions of mornings since 2010. Since using AG1, I have noticed a massive change for the better. I'd say mostly in my digestion and overall gut health, but I can also feel it in my hair and skin as well. I feel like I just have a more consistent energy level throughout the day. But maybe the best part about working with the team at Athletic Greens is that it's also been helping out the Gypsy Gang. I've had a bunch of messages from people who've started using AG1 after listening to the show, and they all have their own stories of how it's helped them. If you're looking for an easier way to take supplements, Athletic Greens is giving you a free 1-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. Go to athleticgreens.com/gypsytales. It's not a promo code, it's this link specifically, athleticgreens.com/gypsytales. Winter sports or getting on the grog? You still need to care for your favorite hog with Manscaped. There is nothing wrong with growing out a new coat of manly chest hair to keep warm this winter. It's only an issue when you grow some matching fur panties. Stop letting the curly cues down there. Cover up the stars of the show with Manscaped Performance Package 4.0. Join the 8 million men and 16 million nuts worldwide who already use Manscaped by going to manscaped.com and use the code GypsyGang for 20% off plus free shipping. Gentlemen, winter is not a time to get complacent, and being the kind of man who is well-groomed from the waist down is to be a confident man. And I have Manscaped to thank for giving me Jet Lawrence-type confidence after going 8-0 to kick off the season. Grab your ghoulies, their new best mate, with the Manscaped Performance Package 4.0. The kit comes with the Essential Lawnmower 4.0, waterproof, cordless body trimmer, and a ton of other liquid formulations to round out your grooming routine, and their skin-safe tech will stop you from tearing your pubes to shreds. Inside the performance package, you'll also find the Manscaped Crop Preserver, Ball Deodorant, Crop Reviver, Ball Toner, and Anti-Chafing Ball Deodorant Moisturizer. Just because it's cold doesn't mean those boys don't get smelly. And you can't forget about the Manscaped boxes that come with the kit. Don't let your boys hang out in the cold. Manscaped's dual pouch will make sure your gems are nestled safe and comfortable. And they round out the package with the Weed Whacker 2.0 because no one likes ear and nose hair. Plus, you get a shed travel bag to hold all of your new goodies. Do yourself a favor. Get the best pack for your sack with the Performance Package 4.0. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code GypsyGang at manscaped.com. That's right, 20% off plus free shipping with the code GypsyGang at manscaped.com. Winter's coming, boys. And make sure your boys are prepared. We're also brought to you by the team at Tropical Auto Group. And if you're in the market for a new or used vehicle, then you cannot buy anything without picking up the phone and calling Kyle. He has been keeping us moving for the past 3 years and countless other members of the Gypsy Gang. Tropical Auto Group in Rockhampton stock Ford, Mitsi, Kia, Isuzu, and Great Wall. And for the last 12 months, we have been wheeling the all-new D-Max. If you're looking for a ute for work and play, I can't recommend that rig enough. We've driven it from Melbourne to Cape York, and it's safe to say she's passed the test. It's tax time right now, so make sure you head to tropicalauto.com and ask for Kyle, and you'll get a $500 gift voucher at MX Store with the purchase of a new or used car. We also need to give a shout out to Dry Times. Dry Times may have created the perfect towel with their quick-drying, odor-free, and super-absorbent towel. It also takes up a fraction of the space of a traditional towel. They make towels for the gym, the beach, and even ponchos for post-surf. To find out more about this perfect towel, head to drytimes.com or check them out on Instagram at drytimes. And strike while the iron's hot with their end of financial year sale right now at drytimes.com. They have 20% off store-wide. The team at Dixon Flannel are also having their end of financial year sale, and we're neck deep in winter right now in the Southern Hemisphere, so there has never been a better time to get into a fresh and crispy Dixon. These flannels have been solid in my rotation for years now, and it's very rare that I go anywhere without one. Take advantage of this epic sale by heading to dixonquality.com.au. From the gang called Gypsy. Gang and they come and get gang. Gang and they come and get gang. Gang. I'm at a gypsy. Gypsy gang. I'm at a gypsy. All right, boys, let's crack a... way ahead of you. Time flies when you're having fun, eh? Bloody second quarterly review.
Already.
Can you believe it?
In person, too.
Yeah, welcome back. Yeah. Thanks, boys. Thanks for having me.
I really
appreciate the invite. Yeah. So a bit's happened, fair bit to talk about. Bit less drama for you, which is nice.
Good. Yeah, last time wasn't good.
Just some good old-fashioned bar banging that you've been doing this year. But we'll go to B-Fiend first, mate. First poll in Melbourne, youngest to do it. You're entering the youngest to win this, youngest to do... you're kind of entering that territory. So how was that experience, Oz GP, putting it on poll, youngest dude to do it?
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I was thinking about this on the way here. When we did the first one, we'd only done one race. But now, second report, I suppose we've done another four or five, I think. But cool to get my first pole at AGP. I felt like we'd been so close so many times. So finally pulled it off. And then to convert to a win was pretty cool. But a cool weekend to do it. Obviously, every weekend's cool when you can get a good result. But to do it at the Grand Prix was pretty special.
Yeah, and it's such a crazy vibe there. And obviously Melbourne's just crazy for sport in general. But then I think that with AGP was where the whole COVID thing happened.
Yeah.
I was there and it was the first domino in the world. And then after that, all hell broke loose. So I think there almost felt like something a bit more special around the Oz GP this time around. It's like the fans really appreciate what they got there, you know?
It was pretty feral, though, at some points. Like, the lines for the toilets and...
It was just chaos.
It was insane, the amount of people, like...
How many did they get through the gates? Do you remember?
It was 400, isn't it, for the weekend?
Sunday was ridiculous. Like, I've never seen so many people in one place, it felt like. And back of the pits, all the support paddock, it was pretty cool to see, but it was full on.
Did it translate to, like, energy on the racetrack, in a sense, you know, like when you really feel like the vibe of the crowd, like were you guys going feral too?
Well, that Sunday race, yeah, like it was packed everywhere. So, yeah. And I think we put on a reasonable show, I guess.
Yeah, they were pretty short ones for us.
Oh,
for
yeah, a couple of the races were bad.
We got bumped down the order quite a bit. Yeah. But yeah, it's still such a cool experience. I mean, racing there and even on Sunday's race, we're quite early in the morning, but when you're racing, you don't notice too much, but on your warm up and cool down lap, the place was packed.
That's so sick. I think
we were on at like 9 o'clock in the morning. And yeah, there's hundreds, thousand people there. It's pretty epic.
Yeah. And so as a pole sitter now, as someone that's done it, how gnarly is it to do the perfect lap in a V8 supercar when you've got like this dude and all the other dudes that can just lay down a heater? Like, is it a crazy focus and intensity that goes into that?
It is. I don't know if I've done a perfect lap yet.
Okay.
And I think in these cars at the moment, it's very hard to do a perfect lap. I feel like everyone's maybe not made a little mistake, but doesn't have the perfect thing going on. So for that qualifying session, we're on wets in the session before, and it was at that point of when you put a slick on, and I think we both put slicks on, but both missed our laps at the end because of a red flag. And yeah, we took a bit of a risk in that qualifying session and pitted for another set, and the track had just dried up in time. So it's a great feeling. I mean, when you do get pole and you're starting up front, obviously you've done the fastest lap of the rest, but yeah, I don't know if I've done a perfect lap yet, I suppose.
Yeah. Have you ever done it like a just chef's kiss, perfect lap for a pole?
Yeah, I've done probably a few good ones, but there's probably always something in it,
So there's never like a perfect lap, you reckon?
I don't know.
How do you answer it? It's hard to know.
I've done a few good ones where you think, oh, that's good, and then someone's beaten you. Yeah. So, yeah, hard to know.
Yeah, because it would be like, it'd be interesting to know if like you actually could have got another tenth or a couple tenths out of something, or if it's like that was just it.
Yeah, you have it a lot in races. Like when you're in a rhythm, you can be like tenth for tenth every lap and be so in tune with everything. But over one lap, it's pretty hard to do it. But in a race, yeah, you can be in like a full rhythm and feel everything in the car and manage everything and be doing the same tenth every lap is pretty cool.
Yeah. I even notice like when I'm training and I'll put the stopwatch on the bars and the moto and I'm like, righto, you've done like 5 lap warm up and you're like, all right, I'm feeling sweet. And then as soon as you press that timer, you overshoot the first turn, overshoot the next one. So is that kind of what you're like trying to not do in a sense when you've like cross that line for a pole lap?
Yeah, I try not to overthink it and just, yeah, full send, I guess. And it's normally good if you got someone in front of you, you see where they break, you try and go that little bit later or take a bit more curb or whatever. So yeah, you're always trying to compare to someone as well.
Yeah. So you've had a few good results this year, a bunch of podiums, a bunch of wins. What are you doing with the trophies? Are you like slowly building out a cabinet, or like what have you got a plan at the moment?
Well, I don't actually keep them. The team keep our trophies.
Oh, really? Oh, they do have the whole thing. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, we can get replicas. I haven't ordered any yet, but I do plan on it. But we got a couple of didgeridoos on the weekend, so that was cool, something different. But they're sitting up at work at the moment.
So no full man cave going yet?
Well, I do. I feel like I got a good man cave, but it's just, I suppose, all my go-kart and Super 2 and Super 3 trophies. But I got my trophies from last year. I got all the replicas made. And I planned on doing it at the start of the year, getting them made. But you sort of go to order one and go, oh, that's pretty expensive. And then you get a few more and it's like, damn, that's going to cost me a bit.
Have you got like the full cabinet going?
No, I don't like trophies, but Dad has them all. He gets all the replicas. The only ones I got are the surfboards. So thankfully got a few of them. They're all in my garage, but the other ones, I don't need them. I was there.
I love it. That's the most SBG answer of all time.
Yeah.
So the races that I've seen this year, there's actually been some pretty epic, like, full just bar banging going on. Like, you and Kostecki in Perth was pretty
the
sick.
The Perth
like,
one was good, yeah.
That was, I actually don't know that I've seen racing that was that aggressive but clean at the same, like, aggressive but not impacting the racing, you know what I mean? Like, you're not putting a dude off, he's not losing time. It's just you guys are going that
fighting
hard
for the win, yeah. Yeah, I thought it was good, and then afterwards they thought it was good, and then all of a sudden it was being protested. And ever since then it's been a bit weird with everyone, but it was an awesome race at the time, and even if it came second in that one, it would have been a good battle. So it was the best race in years, and then it turned into a shitstorm. So
God, that's annoying.
Yeah, it sucks, but it's
you,
what it is.
You watch that though, and I mean, from my uneducated, not an official, whatever, but there was two dudes, like, those gas pedals were completely on the floor, both dudes, and it was like there was nothing in each of those cars, you know, and it was like you were getting the most out of them and just touching, you know, the whole time. That, to me, like, that was vintage supercars right there.
And then, like, he was doing the same. Like, it looked like I was bumping into him, but he was braking or not getting on the throttle as a strategy for me to not be able to, like, do a crossover or whatever, and it made for good racing, but then... Yeah, I don't know.
Do you reckon that they'll... Is it just the cars are super close, like, in at the moment? Yep. Like, there's just not, like, the separation or...
Yeah, there's not enough differences between the cars. So when you look, like, you can see underneath everyone's suspension and stuff, and we've all got the same parts.
Yeah.
You see pretty much everyone's running similar stuff, which is awesome in qualifying, but in the race, it's near impossible to pass. You know, last year even... You could see differences between the car, like if you saw a Dick Johnson car or a FPR car, the way they moved and turned was very different. The overall speed was the same, but the way they achieved it was different.
Yeah.
Now pretty much all the cars look the same, which is cool for competitiveness, but maybe the racing suffered by it. But yeah, Darwin on the weekend was so hard. Like, it's the hardest racing I've ever had. You couldn't follow anyone, so...
And what was that? That it was just no difference in car speed, or like not necessarily speed, but where you could make time. You weren't I could get this guy here because this car's set up for
like
this.
The whole field was within 4/10. Like, it was nuts, well, the top 20. Like, it was awesome. But then in the race, everyone's just doing the same thing. Your tires heat up, and you just follow. So
yeah. So what's
it's good and bad?
What's the fix for that, do you think?
I don't know the answer. Yeah, maybe a better tire, maybe allowing a bit more freedoms with the car and stuff. But yeah, at the moment, even though there is a lot of parity talk, the cars are closer than last year, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so you seem to come alive on Sundays. What are you doing on Sunday morning, bro?
Don't know.
Yeah, tell me.
I gotta
keep the secret. I don't know. Just another day of the track, but it's weird. I mean, like, I suppose when I do look at it, you know, you get the Friday and the Saturday and you learn off the race and just come back and we're better than the day before. Can put it down to that, but thankfully we got a podium on the Saturday at Darwin on the weekend, which was good, and had a good Sunday again. But it's funny now, because like after the Grand Prix, or I think after my win in Perth, it was like, oh, I've only won on Sundays. And then you rock up in Tassie on Sunday and everyone's like, oh, you ready for Sunday? And I won. Yeah. And then I did it again at Darwin. So I don't know. I hope I can keep it going.
So you think it's just a fact that, because you're still super early into your career, you know, and I think that it's funny, like, just the way that you carry, you're almost like an old soul, you know, like the way that you carry yourself and like your level of professionalism, and it's like pretty crazy on my end, like from the outside looking in, the way that like a young dude like that can just slot into a team and it's almost like part of the furniture, being here forever. But there is this process of, like you said, new car, new track, you're there Friday learning, then Saturday. And it's, so do you think it's kind of just a culmination of like how you guys are working on your setup for the weekend? It sort of just blooms on Sundays.
I think so. I mean, like, it's a big thing that we got to improve on. Like, as much as it's sort of like a running joke sort of thing, like, I do want to win on Saturdays.
Saturday,
you know what I mean? Like, you also need to get good points on Saturday. But I mean, you know, just going back a year, like, rocking up now, I feel super comfortable rocking up to tracks that I've been to, and that's a massive progression. But still, like, I race on a Saturday, and you follow guys, and you learn so much stuff off them, and yeah. thankfully, on the weekend in Darwin. We rolled out super strong. We were quickest in first practice, and that rolled over to a podium on Saturday, which was good. But you just got that extra experience, and obviously we're learning and getting better. And with these new cars, we've got so much to learn. I mean, they're very interesting, and we're learning so much as the weekend goes on. So I feel like as a team, as drivers, we're probably getting on top of it more, but so is everyone else. So
yeah,
honestly don't know what the answer is, but yeah, hopefully we can keep it up.
Yeah, don't know, don't care.
Yeah, let's overthink it.
Yeah, let's just keep doing it. Have you learned a lot more about the car since we last spoke? Because it was pretty early stages then.
Yeah, pretty early, and it's just constant development, like trying stuff. And we had a test day a few weeks ago before Darwin, and finally got to try some stuff that was sort of out of our normal box. At a race weekend, it's pretty risky to try stuff like that. So, yeah, I think we're constantly learning and evolving. Like, the cars are very different now from the start of the year, and yeah, we keep going down a certain trend, and then there's another tweak of the week, and you're sort of going down that path. So, yeah, it's constantly evolving.
I'm sure it's like fun to do in one way, because you're kind of like getting to see what the cars do, but being on a race, you're probably like, I would way rather we didn't do this here.
Yeah, but it's good to see, like, you're always trying stuff, and then the engineers are coming up with this thing, and yeah, you jump in, see what it feels like, and tell them if it's better or not. And yeah, it'd be interesting to go back to what we started with at the start of the year set up and see if we have come far.
How, like, I guess what's different, like, obviously you can't say too much, but like, what stuff can you, like, kind of playing with? Is it stuff that you expected would make the differences that it like has, or it's standard stuff that gets changed over time?
It's pretty standard. Like, it's just your roll bars and springs and stuff. It's all race car stuff that you always play with and tune, and there's no parts. Like, there's nothing to develop with parts, so you just... It's all a combination of setup, like the cambers, the roll bars and springs, all trying to get the most grip at all parts of the corner. So, yeah, it's just, you're just playing with setup, basically.
Yeah. And there was the Tassie crash. That was pretty big
shunt. Yeah, it was big inside, yeah.
Can you believe the team turned that car around?
Oh, yeah, I can, because of who they are. Yeah. And we take a welder now on races, so that was good, a fabby. But yeah, like, seeing where it came in, and like, that was a massive crash inside. I only hit the wall at 80 or 70 or something. It wasn't big, but it was violent. Like, I almost hit the steering wheel.
And really?
Then, yeah, I didn't expect that. And then come inside, there's bars hanging off, there's broken bits off the chassis, and yeah, they bolted it together, and it felt pretty funky, but I guess it turned better left than right, luckily, because it's all lefts at Tassie, and seemed okay.
Yeah, that crash was wild, because there's not a lot of crashes where, like, you'll see a car go into the barriers
and then stop.
Just come straight out. Like, most cars, they like go in and they'll slow down and stop, and you went doing, and like literally bounced off the wall. You don't see that a lot.
Well, it's got earth filled tires there, like, it's pretty old school type of thing. So most tracks are gone
gravel trap too.
Not at that part of the corner, you normally don't go off there, but most tracks are gone to like a concrete wall or a normal tire wall, but that's proper old school, so it hurt.
And physically, is that like a pretty big hit to take?
Yeah, so there's a bit going on at the moment with the cars to try and make them crash a bit better, I guess. So James Courtney had a big crash at Newcastle head on, and the thing didn't soak it up that well and bent quite a bit. So yeah, there's a few things going on to try and make the cars a bit safer.
Yeah, because I guess you don't really think about that, eh? Like, there's probably some cars that crash better than others.
Yeah.
And, like, as the generations of cars go on, like, were the old... What's the difference between, like, the old car and the new car?
Well, this one has... It's not a one-piece chassis, so it has, like, clips, we call them, on the front and the rear, where it bolts to the main part of the chassis, the front clip, and then all the engine bolts around that at the front, all the suspension bolts to that. So it's designed for that to be the crumple zone and not affect the chassis. And then you just take the clip off and put it back on. So, but surprisingly on my car, the clip was fine, but the main chassis was stuffed. So
it bent the chassis.
Yeah, it didn't really soak it up that well. So, and they have the exact same problem in NASCAR. Like, all those drivers are getting concussed, and their impacts are not that great. So I saw on YouTube, actually, on NASCAR, they've come out and updated their clip. They've cut all holes in the front clip to make it compressed. So I'm sure there'll be stuff like that here soon.
And did you feel any effects, like, concussion-wise or anything like
no, that? No, just hurt my collarbone again. So it was on my bad collarbone and it was pretty tight. But does it, some physio.
Does it still give you dramas?
Yeah, when it's cold. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
But otherwise, it's fine.
Yeah. It was definitely, that was like a weird place to, obviously you got had a bit of help, yeah. But like a weird place to go off and like a yeah. oddly big shunt.
Yeah, and like we've seen it a few times this year, you touch someone wheel to wheel and it just rips the wheel out of your hand. So I think Dave touched me and then it ripped the wheel out and then that made it worse. And then I went on to the grass and couldn't stop. So
yeah
it's wheel to wheel contact sometimes is pretty tough.
Yeah, and that's different this year, do you think?
Yeah. Mm. Seems to be worse.
It's fascinating that you can have such a big difference in,
yep.
I mean, from the outside, you know, they look really similar, but, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot of different,
just a completely,
different things about the car.
Yeah, completely different. Have you had a big crash in one yet?
No.
Let's not do that, then.
No.
Yeah, let's keep that shit going straight.
Yeah, yeah.
So, in between as well, since we've done the last one, you have gone over to Thailand to do some GT racing. What's that experience like? Because, I mean, honestly, it looks pretty sick.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts. So, went over for a test at Buriram where they race MotoGP. So, for me, I'm just a fan going to the tracks because all the ones I watch, they'll be race at pretty much MotoGP and F1 tracks for the whole season. And to go drive there, I think it's certainly more a motorbike track than it is a car track. There's lots of runoff, so it's pretty easy to take the piss on track limits and that, which tightens up on race weekend. Yeah. But it's really cool. And it's such a big series this year. Like, it's a pro-am championship, so there's a professional and an amateur. The pros are all factory drivers, so even our teammate racing with us, Lucas Stoltz, is a Mercedes factory driver and won the 12-hour the last couple of years. So, like, it's pretty stacked this year, which is cool. I missed the round on the weekend, though. So, they raced in Fuji on the weekend. So, I missed that one. But, back over in a few weeks' time for a doubleheader. So, it's awesome. It's great experience. And racing, the best GT guys in the world is pretty cool. So, just for I don't know. I just feel like a bloke that drives cars in Oz and then you sort of open up to the rest of the world.
Yeah. How does how are you stacking up against those guys? And are you even measuring yourself against those dudes? Obviously, like, the cars are fairly different, because it's such big differences in brands. But is there any info, you can take out of it personally as, to where you kind of stack up?
I suppose so, but that's not real the goal in that championship. Like, it's not about me at the end of the day. It's, you got two drivers and it's a big team effort. So it's not just how I go. It's about making sure the AM on their side, you get them up to speed. And to be honest, that's my biggest job, is trying to help those guys, be as quick as they can. So, we have our qualifying session, us pros, and I suppose that's our time where we try and lay a heater down and see where we stack up. But it's really cool for me, and just getting to race guys that race in Europe. And Luca, my teammate over there, does 27 races a year, like race weekends, and each one of those is in the exact same car. So he races in heaps of championships, but all in a Mercedes GT3. For me, I'd do it probably 4 or 5 times a year and then race a supercar another 12 times. So it's pretty crazy to see the differences, but it's great experience for me. I feel like that's been a big step forward for me in driving different stuff and racing top guys.
Yeah, I mean, it'd have to make a massive difference to be thrown into, you're used to this car over here and it's got these characteristics, and then you go do something complete, they're on the other side, you're driving on the other side of the car, that overall. Like, you'd just have to think that would be developing, car skill, big game time. Again, you're getting more, almost more gate drops,
Yeah, that's literally what it is for me. And it's funny, this year, the cars, the supercar last year and the GT car were, I suppose, getting more similar and similar over time. But this year, they've just taken all the downforce off the supercar. So it's actually a bigger gap to do both, which in a way is good because there's no real overlap. But it's cooler. I rock up and I look at the other guy's data, and it's still stuff that we work on in a supercar. You're just doing it with ABS and traction control and a bit of different stuff. But just the feeling of going out for qualifying and race starts and racing guys and helping other people improve is a massive thing as well. So it's cool. I feel like that's been a big step forward for me in race and that. And I love it at the same time, like driving cool cars and the sickest tracks in the world. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. How hard is it to go from one side of the car to the other and on a racing context?
Oh, I don't really notice it that much.
Really?
You do at Bathurst a little bit.
Is the one, yeah.
Okay.
Because you're so in tune with that at the 12-hour or the 1,000. Mm. All your reference points at, like, the cutting, you got the whole car on the other side.
Yeah.
So on those tight corners where you got the walls and you do it on the same track, it's quite difficult. Yeah. But if you go to a completely different track, you don't notice it. Doesn't make a
difference.
But it's when you got all those muscle memory and brake markers and stuff. Same car, but you're on the other side of the track. It's quite different.
So do you, like, when you're trying to get used to a new car, so, like, let's say when Brock goes, like, let's say if Brock, well, you do drive that at Bathurst, but, like, have you got reference, like, visual references in the car as to, like, this is the edge of the car or, like, this is my limits, or is it all feel?
It's all feel. Like, you've obviously done as much study as you can beforehand with placement and brake markers and stuff, but you sort of build up on the corners with no walls, I guess. You use the curbs. You can kind of feel when you hit a curb or get close to the exit curbs and stuff, and then you build up to the corners with walls, but you kind of get cues from the curbs to start with. Yeah.
And so is there any crossover? Like, so you do rally, you do the, like, the dirt oval stuff, about to drive a NASCAR. Like, is there any, like, can you take something from everything and apply it back to, just a supercar, but it's like if I went and rode a flat track bike, I'd probably bring something back to, like, a flat turn on a motocross bike. Yeah, like, I guess
it's just all adding to the experience. And for sure, it makes you a better driver, but, yeah, you get to experience different cars, different teams and people, the way that they work. You might pick some setup stuff up, but, yeah, it just adds to the overall experience level, I guess.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. And so how far off are the AMs that you're racing? Like you said, a big part of it is, like, bringing those guys up to speed. Like, how big is the difference? Because I can imagine that it's like any sport, right? It's like getting that last 5% is crazy hard, you know? Like, can you get a person to this level, but to really dial them in to be, like, a professional driver, it's, like, the small percentage is quite a hard leap to make.
Yeah, and I suppose that's sort of where they get to. And, I mean, an AM, they're not racing the car all the time, and I suppose we're lucky enough that we're driving, still not that much, but a couple of times a month, maybe 3 times a month. But it depends on the track. So at the first round, they're in Thailand, they're probably about a second, I would say.
That's actually not too bad.
Normally at maybe a 90-second track, it'd be between 1 and 1.5 seconds. But for us, it's quite interesting when you do that, because obviously we get out of the car and we're talking about hundreds and tenths. But for amateurs normally racing, it's so, not easy, but it's a lot easier to make a half a second or a second jump.
Yeah, like you couldn't make a half a second.
No, we feel like we're pretty tapped, and, you know, we might want a little bit different spring or a Miller ride height to try and gain maybe half a tenth, we'd be stoked.
Yeah.
But in the back of your mind, it's never really about you when you're doing those weekends. You got to make sure when you drive the car, you got to think, is the AM going to be comfortable driving the car? And it plays a big part. And as I said, the weekend, it's not about us. It's about getting them up to speed and helping them as a team to try and get good results.
So you could actually set up the car that would suit you guys way more than the AM. And, like, so you could take away, it would, like, let you go faster, but then it would make them feel, like, fully uncomfortable, basically.
Yeah, like we had that at the 12-hour this year. Our car was set up for full speed, and the teammate car with the Pro-Am lineup had a bit more wing, a bit less aggressive setup on it to make it comfortable for the AM over the long race, you know? So you got to go for speed, but you also got to make it easy to drive.
And so what are the changes that would make it easier to drive?
Maybe a bit lower in the rear to make it a bit more stable. And then I think they had 2 or 3 holes more downforce on the rear wing to keep it planted, which for us makes it too slow on the straight.
Yeah, you get too much drag.
Yeah. So it's a bit more lively for us, but overall it's faster.
Yeah, right. It's crazy to think, though, the how hard it would be for that AM guy to make that,
for our time,
you know, like they, to bridge that gap, because it's such a small, on a stopwatch,
it's nothing.
It's such a small amount of time.
Well, for us, with that setup, you know, Richie was within half a second or 3/10 of the main car, but for Eamon, it was probably a second or two quicker for him.
Yeah.
Just because they're comfortable. Yeah. And they feel confident to push it because the car's safe.
Yeah. And so where is that time then? Like the time between the AM and you? Like where is that being made, you reckon?
Normally high speed is the biggest one. So in the GT cars, they've got ABS. So braking's never, like big braking's never really an issue because, yeah, you can sort of just fire it in and get on the brakes real hard and stop it on the ABS. So it's normally like mid-corner speed, like carrying it with confidence, and then high speeds, probably the big ones. Like, I mean, over the top of the hill at Bathurst, I think, I don't know, we're doing like 240 or something. And
yeah, that's just all nuts. You know,
we're going through McPhillamy Park lifting to like 30% throttle. Like, it's pretty crazy when we go.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Over there, so I suppose for us to rock up and do it all the time, it sort of feels normal, but for people who work during the week and then go and race cars on the weekend, it's obviously a bit different. So that's where all that wing stuff and ride heights and all that makes such a big difference for them, where they're just comfortable doing that. And for us, obviously, we want it on the edge so we can go faster, but you got to compromise a little bit.
Yeah. And so you've got a big couple months coming up. So there's some rally and then some NASCAR. You have to be fizzing to drive a NASCAR.
Oh, it's been a pretty slow start to the year, I guess, racing, and now it all just ramps up. So yeah, it's a cool opportunity going this week to NASCAR and getting to drive it, get to do an event. And yeah, I'm pretty lucky to go straight into the main series. Normally you go into the Xfinity series or a couple of times at least first. So yeah, straight in with a good team, good equipment. It's going to be pretty cool.
So how does SVG prepare for a NASCAR and you're only there for such a short period of time?
Yeah, so it's all sort of started this week. I haven't done too much on purpose, tried to stay focused on supercars, but this week, I've been watching as much onboard as I can. And I've got all the radio comms from the team of the last races they've done just to see how the races run. Like their pits are very different from us. They don't have a pit speed limiter, for example. So the way they pit, if a yellow comes out, you can't pit. You have to wait. And then everyone pits together and then it's just carnage. And, you know, they have guys, you enter your pit bay and there's like 40 pit bays and people are waving signs, you know, that's so hard to see which one's yours. And then you get to yours and all of a sudden people jump out over the wall to service your car. They get a jack instead of just the air jacks like we did. It's just completely different, you know. It seems so old school, but it's so refined and advanced in its own way. So, yeah, it's going to be cool to experience, see what it's like. And it's a new track, Street Circuit, Chicago. So no one's done that before. That should help me. It's not going to be easy. That's for sure.
How long has it been on the bucket list for you to... I mean, you pretty much want to race everything.
Yeah.
So I'm sure it's always been.
Like late 2000s, early 2010s. Like I was a massive NASCAR fan, but sort of died off the last few years. Obviously this year I've been right into it again. Loved it. And I was always a big Tony Stewart fan. And his crew chief was Darian Grubb when he won the championship. And he's going to be my crew chief next week. So that's pretty cool. Yeah.
So How did the deal come about to do that?
Yeah, so I saw it all happen last year with Kimi Raikkonen.
Yeah.
And when you read Justin Marks, who's the team owner, when you read all what he says, like, it was all about, you know, showing the potential of drivers from all around the world, giving them a shot, bringing them that exposure into NASCAR and getting exposure in other parts of the world NASCAR. And you always dream, but when they got Kimi Raikkonen, it's a hard name to stack up against. But tried to find a way to get in touch, and it was actually Paul Morris got in touch with Boris Sid, who came and raced supercars a few times. And yeah, he recommended me to Justin, and Justin called me and said late last year if we can work something out next year. And he targeted this race, like, he thought being a street circuit it might be good for me.
Fresh.
Yeah, and then early this year it worked out, and go and have a crack now.
It's super cool, man. I'm very stoked for you.
Yeah, and like it's an awesome opportunity, that's for sure. Yeah.
And I think the fans too, you know, like the fans of the supercars, I think it's like a cool not like a validation, but it's almost like a bit of a social proof, you know, like our guy can go to there, and it sort of like elevates the level in a sense, you know. And then I guess fans of supercars get to see you do something else, and then I think there's, you know, you do well over there, there's going to be a lot of people that are like, oh, this dude can really steer, and what series is he from? And so I think there is like quite a bit of like good cross-pollination.
Yeah, and hopefully if you go okay, it opens doors for everyone else as well. Like, I know Brody wants to go, Cam Waters wants to go, and then whoever else, if you do well, it's only good for our series in this part of the world. So you see what Scotty's done, Dixon and McLaughlin, coming from this part of the world over there, and Willpower, like, and what Marcus did, Ambrose from Supercars. So yeah, like, it's possible. So hopefully it starts opening doors again.
Yeah. And so have you done any sim time, or you just tried not to do
it? Not much yet. So yeah, I've just been trying to get as much advice as I can, and Marcus was actually pretty helpful with that.
Oh, sick.
Yeah. And then next week I got all the sim stuff and prep for the track wise. Yeah.
So you go, when do you leave?
Thursday.
Yeah. Thursday night. So. And then you've got a week there before the race the following weekend?
Yeah, so I go to Charlotte where the team's based, and then they race next week at Nashville at the Speedway. So go and watch that, learn, soak it all in. And I've never been to a NASCAR race before, so yeah. And then the Monday, I think I get to test the car, like as a safety sort of check to prove I can drive. And
dude, then, imagine being that team, eh? Just be like, oh, we should probably get this guy to drive this
make
car.
Make sure he
like,
goes.
At least maybe he doesn't fail.
Be the start, then reefing it right.
Yeah. Like, oh, and then... And then there's like pit stop practice and sim stuff before the week. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's exciting. Like,
yeah. It should be cool.
Especially, I mean, you've done so much in supercars the last, you know, 10 years. It's like, it'll be probably like a cool change of pace as well.
Yeah. And the track looks crazy. Like, it's a street circuit, but not like anything we do. And there's long straights, and there's like a corners into T intersections, or an intersection. One goes one way, one goes the other. So there's no runoff. It's just a wall at the end of the straight. So it looks crazy. And like all the 90-degree corners, there's no runoff. Like, they don't go up the next street. It just turns. So if you go off, you're in the wall. It looks not like an easy place to learn.
Yeah. I feel like you like that sort of stuff, though. You know? It'll be you're a always challenge. Doing weird stuff in cars.
Yeah, we'll see.
So then you're going to do some more rally as well?
Yeah, so I've been doing the New Zealand series. Most have conflicted so far, and I did one. It didn't go very well. I had a lot of car issues, and then I ended up making a mistake later on trying to make up for it. But yeah, I got two or three more in New Zealand coming up, and then more endurance racing over there too. So yeah, the year gets pretty busy from now.
Yeah. And speaking of endurance racing, so it's finally officially announced that J-Dub is your partner. Yeah. What, was there like a long list you were going through? Or was the delay?
Why does he delay it every time?
I saw some funny stuff when they announced it, because he was like, you know, it was a team decision and all that, which we all knew he was going to do it again. It was just a thing. There was people saying like, oh, did he email himself saying congratulations and all this stuff?
But he sent his own resume to himself.
Yeah, I mean, he tested at Sydney at the start of the year, and yeah, it was always happening. Or just, I think I said it in the post-race interview after Perth. I was like, I got a good co-driver, and then we're like, oh, we better announce it then.
Yeah, yeah, so. Right. So what's it like driving with J-Dub in these endurance races? And, like, do you feel like this year you can kind of muscle him a bit more? Like, last year you probably had to just be like, okay, whatever, Mr. Wing Cup, whatever you feel like. Now you're like, no, mate, it's my car, right? We'll do it my way.
Well, I suppose it's quite different. You know, I did the 1,000 with him last year, but this year we got two races, so the Sandown 500 and Bathurst. But
he's the king of Sandown.
Yeah.
Like, there's one track we always went to, he's my teammate. Sandown, he was just insane.
Just does.
So, yeah, that's if you good. Want to swap for that one, that's no, good. No. Oh, no, Richie's won there.
So yeah. No, we got good lineups. But I suppose the difference is this year is it is like he's coming into my car because he hasn't drove this so much. So he drove it our last test day a couple of weeks back, and it's quite weird, but, you know, when he comes in, I'm, like, leaning in and telling him some tips of what I normally do and what we've learned. And I suppose he's trying to get his head around that. But, keen as. Like, I just love working with him and going through how he operates on a race weekend. And to do it for Bathurst was awesome. But to have literally, you know, they're back-to-back rounds, but you got 2 months pretty much where we're going to be working super close together. And with Shane and Richie as well, I suppose all of us are going to be working really close to try and get some good results, and super close at the moment. So it's really important to have a good co-driver, and I think we've both got great ones.
Yeah, and I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but there's probably a fair bit of development that can happen, like, in that 2 months where it's like two heads are better than one, you know, like, you've got essentially four drivers, like, really, really class drivers that are working with yourselves, engineers. Like, you can probably get some pretty big gains in those couple months.
Yeah, like, the experience that they both have, and how Jamie's so used to refine cars in Triple Eight all his years, and Richie's experienced so much around the world too. So they know what a good car should feel like, or if it doesn't, how to make it better. It was cool to see, you know, they hadn't driven since Eastern Creek. They drove at the test the other week, and some things they were pretty impressed with how they improved, particularly the throttle for Richie. He was really struggling at Eastern Creek, but then there's still a long way to go with some things. So Richie was a bit frustrated with some of it, like, oh, why hasn't this improved? But he's still, you know, it's not like we stopped working at it. It just hasn't happened yet. Yeah, so yeah, it's a cool process. And, you know, I think the cars have come forward a long way since they drove them, but still more to come.
Yeah. And I think it would have to be frustrating as a driver to, like, not have the car that you want, or, like, see the potential. But it has to be a cool process to, like, work with the engineers, work with the shop. Like, it's like when you're busy at work, the time goes quicker, you know, or it's like easy to enjoy when you're busy. Sometimes, like, if you're sitting around with nothing to do, the car's perfect. Like,
easy to be complacent or get used to stuff, like the steering. You just go, oh, that's how it is. And then Richie gets in and goes, oh, why is it like that? And then, because you just forget about it and get used to it and just accept that that's the way it is. Yeah. So now you're like, oh, yeah, we need to keep making that better because you've just accepted it, I guess.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. And just the level of experience that J-Dub has too. Like, I'm sure, like, from a car point of view aside, like, just getting to spend time, like, around the energy that he brings on those weekends and in the prep, like, I'm sure there's probably a lot of learning that can take place when it comes to that.
Yeah, there is for sure. And he's been, like, super open to me, like, the past 18 months, and really opened up and given me, you know, a lot of his personal prep and all that stuff that he goes through. But I never got to experience what he was like on a race weekend, and to work with him last year was awesome. But I feel like this year we're definitely, I think we'll be a lot more prepared and a better combo this year, because I've got a little bit more experience and we can bounce ideas together. But it's just super cool working with him. And the big one for him, like, he's so particular with everything that he does. And, like, last year he'd sit in my car and he's like, why is that like that? Why is that like that? Why is that like that? And I'm like, oh, I didn't really think about that.
Yeah.
Thankfully, he sort of got in this year, and I suppose I've started thinking about that, and he gets in the car now and feels super comfortable. So for me, that's a tick. I feel like we've improved on stuff like that, but it's cool to see how he operates on a race weekend.
Are you starting to feel more like you're getting your own processes, and, like, you're starting to trust your own intuition now, because I mean, I'm sure when you first come in, you're just like, "Yep, all right, like,
yeah,
I'll do, I'll do whatever." Like, yeah. Okay, I'll move that. I'll do this.
Yep.
But does it get to the point now, like, you win a bunch of races, like championship wise, you're doing good? Do you start to trust yourself a little bit more? And like, obviously, you don't want to be like, you're not going to say, "I'm done. I'm a fucking cooked egg, and I'm sweet." Yep. You know, like, I know everything, but. Is there a process of like starting to trust yourself?
Yeah, there is for sure. But obviously we work really close with our engineers, and they're our coach really at the end of the day. You know, they're the ones that make the changes and help us improve. But I suppose like my prep has been the biggest thing, and I feel like I'm at a really solid level with that. And it's quite funny now, we're going back to tracks where I've been last year, and I go back to my notes last year and I look how far it's come in 12 months, and it's crazy. And I feel really prepared now when I get to events, and I feel like that's what's been a big step up for me, and then working with the engineer and just understanding stuff, and yeah, it's developed so much, you know, just in little things, so much has developed in myself and that over the past 12 months. So obviously like I'm stoked and I love that. But there's so much to go. Like I'm,
yeah.
I cracked over 50 races on the weekend. I started feeling old when I thought about that. But the bloke next to me's got a few more, and you know, it's just
I'm 500 next round.
Yeah, probably. It's crazy.
Really?
Yeah,
but I'm still learning. So
yeah, it's nuts.
Always learning something.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Is there a difference? Like, so you more mentioned the engineering side of it and like working with the engineers, but how about just you mentally?
Yeah.
Like mentally going to the track, because there's a difference between, and you probably speak about this, like this would be a bridge that you crossed where it's like, you're the young dude and you just don't want to step on any toes. You probably don't even really know what works for you yet. Like, you know, how should I sleep? How should I train? What kind of mood should I aim to be in? Like, you know, you can be like, oh, get super hyped up, listen to heavy metal music, and then just, it's not the vibe. And then it's like, okay, being relaxed or no music, or, you know, so it's like, do you start to really figure out over the years, just like team aside, engineer car aside, just like what makes you show up on a race day to win?
Yeah, you learn pretty quick what works for you and what doesn't, and whether how much sleep you need even, and what you need to eat and what you'd like to eat before each day's racing. But yeah, you learn to grow in your own skin. Like even when I started with James Courtney as my teammate, you just do what he did, you know, shake his setup, watch his videos and do what he did. And then eventually, you know, which is what happened at the end of the year, you start to get to that level and then you're pushing back and doing your own setups and stuff. And this year it's worked well because you're pushing off each other, but it took a while to get there that last year. So now the information goes both ways. It's awesome.
Yeah.
You really push each other to you know, now I've had to step up and start to get better. It's a good thing.
And how long did it take you, like, personally to feel like you could show up to a race knowing what you needed to do?
I have no idea. It's been so long.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. I don't know. As I said, you still feel like you're always learning and getting better and learning more about yourself and what you need. But, yeah, like, I guess it took a couple of years to be comfortable and, yeah. I don't really know the answer.
No, it's fair. It has been a while. Like, can you feel a shift in yourself? Like, from the dude that rocked up to Tassie last year to the dude that rocked up to Tassie this year?
Yeah, massively different. And it sort of comes down to the prep and that. And yeah, I feel like I got a good structure now, like on my, you know, the week leading up, you know, with my sleep and everything and all the checklists and that I go through is so much better. But it's interesting talking about it, like, where I am now, I feel like I can rock up to a race weekend and it should be the same as the last round that I've been to. But, you know, I got sort of midway, end of the way last year, and I'm like, am I doing the right thing? And you sort of question if you're taking the right approach to things. And, you know, even just like, I don't drink or do anything. I was like, do I need to loosen up? Do I need to do different stuff? But ticking over that year, like now I feel really good and I feel better prepared and just feel like I'm in the right spot. But as Shane said, every time you're getting better and you're always improving, and it's been pretty cool to see what's happened in the past 18 months.
Yeah. And so you mentioned that like you're having to step up because of the way that he's driving.
Yep.
You could frame that as like an annoying thing in a sense, like there's a version of this where the young driver is rating better in the championship at this point than the old A driver, you know, and that they could go the other way. But you seem like you're actually really embracing the like the challenge of it, and the obviously it helps that he's a legend, but like
if he wasn't a nice guy it wouldn't be fun.
Be really hard not to like him.
Yeah.
But it's like it seems like you are kind of embracing that a little bit.
Yeah, because I think it's the way the culture in our team is. Like everyone's open. You can see all the setups, all our driving stuff. We get along good, and I've been as open as I can the last year or so trying to help. And then this year, you know, it goes both ways. And yeah, I've been struggling with this car a bit, I guess. And especially at Darwin on the weekend, my Friday was a waste of time, basically. So Saturday, we just bolt his setup in that Marty and Brock had come up with on the 88 car and, you know, qualified fifth or whatever it was straight away. So yeah, as a team, you want a strong teammate. You obviously, the first person you're compared to is your teammate, so you want to beat them, but you have to work together as well. So I'm sure it'll get testy, like this car. For example, the next race we go to, the fueling time is so long on these new cars, it's like 20 seconds longer to fill the tank. So it's so important to be the first car, because there's only one pit boom. So you want to be the other guy, because if you stack, you lose so much time. So of course, you compete in that regard. You have a little battle amongst yourselves to try and get to the front. So, but that's just how it is. But I think you got to focus on, as we say all the time, you got to beat everyone else before focusing on each other. And to do that, you have to work together well.
But it can just go so wrong, like in teams, you know, like it's,
it can.
It's not always the case. Like you guys are living the dream as far as that scenario goes, you know.
But we're always told that, like even on the races on the weekend, like we were three or four spots apart on the grid, but we're drilled into us, okay, if we end up battling, work together, don't fight each other, definitely don't hit each other, and it's just ingrained.
Is it easier now J-Dub's not in the car?
But he was the boss, he didn't have to listen.
True, right. Now don't hit me, but I can hit you.
But it works well, but for sure there's going to be a point where we are going to clash, but that's part of racing and, you know, the team side of it for sure, but we're selfish people. That's part of it.
Yeah, but I definitely think there is a unique vibe with you boys, you know. Like, I've definitely been around a lot of races and a lot of...
Yeah, some teams don't look like this.
And it's cool, and I think it's worth, like, I definitely think it's worth talking about, you know, because it's just... And the like energy that you could spend on like the other side, if it was the other way, it just takes so much away from like the actual racing, you know.
Yeah, well, even at Stone Brothers when I was there, we never shared setups. We had all the same parts and stuff, but everything's hidden, and a driver would ask me a question, I'd just say, I don't know. Or just, no, it's flat, mate, don't lift or something, you know. And whereas now, which is good because you're trying to compare them, but, you know, we didn't win that much, so... I think it works better this way.
Yeah. And so how do you guys, like, what's best case scenario going forward for this season? Like, where do you think some strong races are going to be? Like, are there some strong results looming? Like, is there tracks you're excited to get to?
Traditionally, we do get going in this team in the second half of the season.
Yeah.
And it's street tracks, you know. Yeah. So there's some strong tracks for us coming up. The Enduro season is... where our team's always the strongest, like the preparation we do and all the pit stop practice and stuff. Like, yeah, this is where normally we start to go pretty good. So the second half of the year will be hopefully pretty strong for us.
Man, you could see the stops in Darwin were like pretty schmick.
Our guys are working so hard, man. Like Shane's engineer, Andrew's come from BJR, who are the leaders or have been for quite a while in pit stops, and the practice and the times that the guys are putting out are insane. Like they're 2 second... you know, just under 3 second pit stops. And last year we were always struggling. We could never really undercut people because they'd be a second or so faster in the pit stops.
Yep.
But now we're the guys doing the undercutting. So it's, as drivers, obviously that's such an important role, and to see them putting in the work, it's really cool to see.
Yeah. That must feel good when you're driving into the pits. Like there's such a high pressure situation, and like to go in there knowing that the boys have got that bit of a dog,
and you just
like,
feel the confidence from them too. And every race they look at the pit order, we're first and second or first and third on the speed chart in pits now, and that's like a cool feeling for them, you know. And it's the work they've been putting in, like twice a day at the shop working on the rig, practicing pit stops with the guy they're partnered with. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. And like, when you're in a team scenario, it's just all those things that add up, you know? Like, there's no magic bullet, in a sense. Yeah. And it's like, when you've got a group of guys and girls that come together in that way, it's like, they're just in every place they can get time. Well, they're trying to get time.
Everything's so close now. All those little things matter. So, if you're picking up half a second consistently, like, that's free lap time, basically, easily in the pits. So, all that effort they put in, we got the confidence to pit early now, and or even cover late, a lap later, because we know we're not going to lose much time. It's pretty cool.
So, expectations for you, mate, for the end of the year, we're going to see some Saturdays coming in. Start calling you Mr. Day, or?
Well, there's some big Sunday races, so hopefully we can keep that going.
Yeah, but, true, maybe just don't change.
Yeah. No, it was, last weekend was certainly a good one for us. Like, we've been having these awesome races and they happen to be on Sundays, but the consistency hasn't been there. And I think they're so close. I mean, qualifying for Sunday's race, the top four were 600ths apart. And the whole field, the top 20 are within like 3.5 tenths. So it's so easy to make one little mistake and have such a bad race. So to have a consistent weekend was awesome. That's my goal, just moving forwards, just try and have three solid races. You know, I'd rather try and have, you know, three really good results and a win and a 20th. Yeah. So as Shane said, our team normally goes well at the tracks and the races coming up. So hopefully as a team, I mean, the goal is to be 1-2 and win the champion team's championship and driver's championship. So hopefully we can be in that position at the end of the year.
Yeah. What about you?
Yeah, same. Just keep scoring points. And seems like we have flown under the radar a bit results-wise, but we still just keep scoring points and feels like we're struggling and it's been tough, but we're still there in the fight, fourth. And yeah, we've got to try and get 1-2 and team's championship. That's always the massive priority, to have that first pit garage, so...
Yeah,
as long as we achieve that, it's a success.
Is it kind of nice, in a way, to not be like the main team, or to have people feel like you're struggling when you're sort of not really in the big picture? Like, is it nice to just not have the target on your back for once?
Yeah, it still feels like it. Like, we had a tough day on Friday and it still felt like we were always the attention, which is weird. Like, go and focus on someone else and let us get better. But yeah, I guess sometimes, but for sure it's nice to let, you know, you don't let them. Other people are doing well and winning and getting headlines, which is good. You just knuckle down and do your thing. And it feels like we had a tough weekend, but we were 1-2 for the weekend, a tough weekend on my side, and, you know, but still scoring a lot of points. So if it gets better, it'll be good.
Yeah, yeah. Well, boys, that was quarterly review number 2. I can't believe that it's already the first. Like, dude, it's actually insane.
It's nuts, yeah.
So, yeah, hopefully come back. We'll hear about Giz winning some NASCAR races.
He might not come back.
Nah, he'll be back. He'll be back.
It's too far from home.
Yeah. And then, yeah, hopefully, mate, get some more wins. But, yeah, I've been enjoying doing these. I'm glad we got to do one in person this time around as well. And
very good.
See in a couple of months.
Perfect.